What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Track Talk Podcast. We are your hosts, Emma and Hannah, and we have an F1 race to talk about. We have a new season of Drive to Survive to talk about. We didn't put out an episode last week because we did our whole puppy interview. If you haven't watched it, please go do that. So we're going to have a long one. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be fun. Stick along for the ride.
You have a lot of energy right now.
It's manufactured, I think.
No, I love it. I love it. I love the energy. Let's start with DTS. Did you finally watch it?
I have notes.
Okay, I also have notes. Let me pull them up. Let
You want to go
me
first?
sure.
Like, are your notes like a stream of consciousness like mine are?
Mine are like I took notes per episode, essentially. I thought the episode, like the frenemies episode, so episode two, the kind of where it focuses on Lando and Max, was the funniest episode I've seen in a hot minute. First of all, DTS literally just will cut whatever they want and place it in whatever episode they want. Like the episode where it showed, like Lando's win episode in Miami, they had pulled scenes from Zandvoort where Max wasn't happy about like his finishing position and he looked like kind of pissed off and intercept like and put that in the Miami like cool down room episode kind of part. Like they are literally like they're cutting pieces to make them fit whatever narrative they want. Like we've known they've done this for like every season, but it makes me sad because new fans who are coming in and watching it, and maybe they're like, I'm only going to watch season six of or whatever season this is of Drive to Survive, and then I'll watch the race. Like they're seeing this, and then they have the impression of Max, like, oh, he's a poor sport. Meanwhile, like these are two completely different races that are being meshed together, or two completely different like outcomes that are being meshed together. And same thing with like when they compared Max and Lando, like saying how Max is like he's got that fire, like he's tough, like he's like very serious and strict about what he's doing. Cut to Lando, a video of him playing with like cats or dogs or something, making him seem like he's not cutthroat or that he's not as serious. Like he's just this playful kind of guy. I was like, what narrative are you trying to like push here? And also in that same episode, I'm sorry, I'm just going off now. In that same
I was
episode,
gonna say, what? How did we get here?
like, because I just feel like I love Drive to Survive. I do. It's fun. It got me into Formula One, but I hate the narratives that they're trying to push. And also, like, and again, in that same episode, they called Lando, or they said that Lando has this quote unquote party boy reputation. And they like showed that scene of him or that those clips of him on that party boat with his friends with the broken nose.
Alex was the one that said that. Alex is friends with Lando.
No, there was something else. There was like another person, or I swear to God, there was someone else that said it. But again, if Alex is saying it, like DTS is like, we're gonna run with it. And like, we're gonna put like this one image or this one video of like him on a party out of control, broke his nose. Like, and it's like, okay, it was on a break, Formula One. He was with his friends. He was celebrating like a Dutch national holiday. He doesn't have a party boy reputation. He was just like, do you know what I mean? I just feel like I love Drive to Survive. I do. But like the narratives that you're trying to push on us, I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? Anyway.
Hey, wait, is
That's
that your notes from watching it?
my notes from the
Or is that
first.
just what you're mad about?
No, that's my notes from my second episode of like that
Okay.
more. I have more notes.
Yeah, okay, keep going.
Okay. I forgot that Lando won Max's home race. I've like completely forgot about that. Him saying simply lovely, that, you know what? I love that. I still love that. I do. And like you can, anyway, it's cool. But I forgot it was Max's home race. Truly, I love it. The Charles episode was emotional. Like it hurt me. I like that. I just wrote Charles curse in my notes. And I'm trying to think like what I meant by that, but I feel like it's interesting that Charles doesn't see it as no one really saw it as a curse, or Charles didn't see it as a curse. He's just like, it's just a series of unfortunate events. But everyone else in this F1 world is like, no, it's a curse. Like, it's quite literally a curse. So I like that he broke it. And it was a very emotional episode. I didn't cry because we watched it when it happened, but it's fine. You cried when it happened. What else do I got? I don't know what episode this was. I think this was the McLaren episode. Wheels of Fortune. That's it. Okay. When Christian says, or when Christian's asked if you could have any of the McLaren drivers, and Christian says Oscar, jaw dropped. I had, like, I figured Lando. Like, you would think Lando would be more sought after than Oscar. Do you know what I mean? And so when he was like Oscar, I was like, does that mean in a way where you think Oscar has like better or more potential or is a better driver than Lando? Or do you think mean it in a way where you're still looking out for Max and you want a better number two driver for Max? Like, that's how I'm like, how do you see this, Christian? Like, how you're not saying anything,
Can
but
I tell you what I think he means by that?
yes, I want your input. I'm just rambling.
I think, well, I mean, I said, tell me your notes, I'll tell you mine. So I will eventually also ramble and it'll all even out. But I think he said that because Red Bull wanted Lando. And Lando was the one who either didn't want to negotiate with Red Bull or just was like, I'm sticking loyal to McLaren, or just McLaren offered him a bit larger amount of money. I don't even know if they got to the point where they were talking about money, but I think it's just that Lando didn't want to join Red Bull. So Christian, it's like petty, right? Like, well, I'm not going to say you. I'm going to make people think that it's because I don't want you, but really, like, you didn't want Red Bull. That's
Reverse
how I feel.
psychology. Reverse psychology. I get it. That's a
That's
good
how I feel.
way. No, I like that because I was losing my mind trying to figure out what he meant. Because I was like, I know a lot of people think Oscar is the better driver than Lando, but I feel like, no, we're gonna end it right there. I'm not gonna elaborate any more on that. What else do I got? What else do I got? I loved the Singapore episode where it was the drivers filming themselves. I thought that was like, that was good. That was a really fun and good episode. I will say, however, the clip of George when he's literally mid panic attack, not called for. That is such a private moment and like a vulnerable moment for him that give him his privacy. Like, we don't need to hear him going through it. Do you know what I mean? Like, when he
He was having heat stroke.
Yes, but it like which led to like him kind of like hyperventilating. Like, he was clearly going through it. Like, heat stroke can cause that, like the mental distress. And so I don't know. I just thought that was a little bit too much. And I was like, we as an audience, like, we know these drivers go through a lot. Like, there are some things we don't need to see. And like, I feel like that was just should have been a very private moment for George.
Do you hold that same sentiment about Isaac Hadjar this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Are we talking
Wait,
about it or are we gonna get back
I
to
think
it?
we should save it. I think we should save
We
it.
should save it because I have a lot to say on that. Like, a lot. But
Okay, let's save it.
we'll save it. The fact that George travels with a duvet, that made me laugh so hard. I don't know why, but it just was like, that makes sense. That adds up for George. Absolutely. Not surprised. Yep. Also, there was an episode. All I put was, I like Liam. I don't know what episode this is from. Clearly something Red Bull, because at some point, again, we don't know when the shit was filmed, but at some point, Danny Ricciardo was like a top contender to replace Checo. And then throughout the season that idea faltered and it no longer was. So I think it kind of hurts knowing that he almost had it. Like, he was so close probably to being the one to replace Checo. I will say I think he got a better goodbye from DTS than he did from Red Bull. Absolutely. I like Liam. I do. I'm glad that he's in the seat, but it knowing that Danny Rick, it was like in his grasp, and it just like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was so close to getting that seat back, and the fact that he didn't. And then Will Buxton saying, I thought Danny had at least one Formula One World Championship in him, that kind of hurt too. And I haven't been like, I know Danny's been around for a while, and I'm still like fairly new to the sport, but like, I teared up a little bit at that. I was like, ugh, I just, anyway, it's cool. I wrote down some quotes. Three. One, George, episode three. Blimey. Amazing. No notes. Episode two, Max. I'm not here to be loved or whatever. I'm here to do my job. Like, I love that. I'm gonna get that on a poster, put it back here, probably. Absolutely huge. That's not English. I just have two quotes.
Oh.
Those, I don't know what this last one says. You have count now. Cool. I don't know either. Those are my main notes. And I watched GTS when it came out like last weekend, the weekend, no, last weekend. And so I just binged it. So I'm probably missing some stuff, but those are like my main things. Don't like how they perceived Lando and Max. Absolutely hate it. Especially like they mentioned, they talked about how they grew up like in very, like two very different ways. Like Lando wasn't raised in racing, whereas Max did, like comes from a very strict family. And it's like, okay. I don't know. I just didn't. I thought it was just like they're really, really, really pushing us to have very specific opinions on both of these drivers. That, and I just felt like it was too much. Did you get it? Did you get it?
I get it, but I disagree completely.
Okay, go off. You can ramble.
Well, I'll get into my notes in a sec, but I held that idea of the two of them before this season did try to push it as a narrative. I have always seen, when they were talking about like when Max came in as a rookie and they see the same parallels with Liam, I agree with that because I think that like those two are very similar in like the mentality. Max has never come in to Formula One and wanted to win over the audience. Like he doesn't do things for the fans necessarily. He'll have funny sound bites and he'll do funny things, but I think that's actually just him being authentic. I don't think that he really cares who likes him and who doesn't, and who supports him and who doesn't.
No, I
And I
agree.
think Lando does care a lot about that, and that's why he does the Twitch streaming. He does with he had his stuff with Quadrant. That's why he does put himself out there, and he's more silly and shows his personality a little bit more. I don't necessarily think that that necessarily translate to like Max is a killer on the racetrack and Lando's not, but I do think that there is a mentality that they both carry, and they're very different. Lando does seem to be like silly and like unserious, and that can change in the car, but like as they perceive themselves in the media, that is different. Max doesn't, he does have more of that like fuck you mentality, and Lando doesn't have that. And like we saw on track last year, like they both pulled moves on each other that we talked about at the point at that point that we were like, whoa, those were kind of like a lot. But so like clearly it isn't like a like Lando's like softer on the racetrack than Max is. Like that's not true,
Well,
but I do
but
think.
that's sorry, but that's how it made it seem. Like they made it seem like Lando doesn't have that fuck you mentality, but I think he does on the track. And like, and you're totally right. How they come off in the media and like how they come off on social media and like towards the fans, completely different people. But I guess I maybe I just got a different like perspective when I was watching it than you did, but they from me, how I felt watching it made it seem like it's like a fluke that Lando did so well this year. Like he doesn't have that same like winner mentality that Max has. So it's interesting that like you have a different person. I wonder how like other people thought of it. Like I wonder, are other people just like kind of watching it, or they're like, oh my God, like Max is a killer. Lando isn't. Do you know what I mean? So I
Yeah,
get what you're
well, I would
saying, and I
actually
do
love.
agree.
Sorry?
I get what you're saying, like about them having like two different mentalities outside of the track. Like I agree with that.
Well, and I think too, Emma, the thing that makes people think about Lando differently is that is how he performs under pressure. And then there's how Max performs under pressure. And they are different. And Lando is really like for a long time he didn't have a good car. So like it wasn't necessarily we weren't always looking at like how his starts work, because he wasn't always starting P1, he was starting P12. So there is it's a different sample size. Max has started at the front of the grid his entire career. Lando hasn't. McLaren has had ups and downs, and now they're doing well. I think it is we talk a lot about it, about the mental pressures, and Lando said himself he is in his head, and there is the stigma there that does need to be broken down, that because you have a lot going on in your head, it does make you quote unquote softer. That's not true. Like we saw, Lando, he does let the pressures get to him a lot, but he also can be, like we said, that like have that killer instinct, that fuck you mentality on track. But I think that because he's so candid about what he does struggle with, people are they want to sell it as him being weak. And that's not fair, but I do think that that's where that storyline is actually coming from. And again, that's not something that we should be perpetuating because you're open about your struggles under pressure mentally. That doesn't make you weak compared to other people. And I unfortunately think that that's where Netflix took that. But I do think that aside from that, I do think I just have this mentality, and like where you and I are saying that like we're seeing things differently. That's because I've always seen them to be different, and it's not really a reflection of their like of their on track performance. So like it would be I should try to think of that more often. But I do think that like I perceive Max as like fuck you mentality, don't care who likes me, gonna do what I want, and Lando as like I like to be silly. I like to show my personality. I like to have fun. And those just need to be separated, I think, from like on track activity. So I think you and I just perceive things differently based on our already formed opinions of the two.
Very well said.
So
Yeah.
please, all of you, like if you want to, like let's have this conversation. Let's reach out. Like reach out to us. Let's chat about it. I think that because Emma and I can recognize our differences, there's going to be lots of you that have differences as well in how you perceive this, not argument, this conversation.
I
So let's
think because, like, I am a Lando fan and, like, I do want to see him do really well. I'm on that protective side where I'm like, they're perceiving him as, like, not to be taken as seriously as Max. So I didn't like that. But again, like other people watching it who might not like Lando might be like, yeah, that's exactly who he is. Like, he's silly, he doesn't care. Anyway, sorry, continue with your notes.
No, that's fair. I'm gonna start from the very beginning. I don't know where how it separates in episodes. This is just the shit that I thought of that I wrote down. I almost cried when Lewis asked if Carlos had spoken to Toto, and he said, "I think if he was interested, he would have called me." Because I was someone who was riding hard for Carlos to get quote unquote a top seat, and I was hopeful that maybe there was going to be something that could have been worked out with Mercedes. And we pretty much saw that work itself out. I don't think there was really ever a conversation. My next one is Fred Visser is an agent of chaos, and I am so happy he's my team principal. And I just that's no commentary necessary. That's how I feel. Toto and James are like two peas in a pod. I love how James sits next to Toto at the press or at the I don't even know.
Team principal meetings,
Team principal meetings because I'm like yeah like those two he's good James he's got Toto's back Toto's got James's back that's
absolutely.
I like that I forgot that the season started in Bahrain last year and let me just say man am I glad that it starts in Australia again. Australia just has the vibes, brings the vibes, good crowd, papaya crowd, we saw it this weekend, energy's high, love it. Not saying that anything about the Bahrain Grand Prix, I've never been there, but Australia previously held the first race of this season for a long time and then they didn't and now they do again, so clearly there was a reason for that. I can't believe Jos saying that he wanted Christian gone didn't result in Christian leaving, and that's something I forgot about because I thought that was going to be the catalyst. Jos Verstappen saying he doesn't think that Christian is fit to lead the organization should really have resulted in Christian being fired, to be honest.
Okay, I feel like Jos Verstappen thinks that he has a bigger say in Red Bull than he actually does.
And maybe I think that he has that say, but it's because I think he's an extension of Max. So if your top driver is unhappy, you'd rather keep Max than Christian was my whole like idea from the beginning.
But Christian has brought more success than Max. If you really look at it, like before Max, they were still winning.
Well,
Not like,
Sebastian Vettel, but Red Bull is not willing to part with Max. And
But I don't think they're willing to part with Christian either.
clearly they're not. Clearly they're not. But I thought that because it was ex essentially Max's camp saying that my team principal is not fit, that would have resulted in him leaving. And I don't think that if it came down to it last year, Emma, if it really came down to them going to Red Bull and saying it's either Christian or me, that they would have chose Christian. I really don't think so. Max Verstappen is a 1 in a million generational talent. Christian has won before, and people can do the team principal job for Max.
You're right. You're right. Max is definitely 1 in a million talent, but I think that Red Bull Corporation was and did everything in their power to keep both of them. And obviously that worked, but I don't think they would even like consider the option of letting Christian go. They'd be like, not happening. How can we work this out?
Which is probably what happened because they're both here to this day. I'm just saying, if it came down to both, that's what it seemed to me in the media. If Yas is saying, it's us or him, I don't think Red Bull keeps him. So moving on, Zach Brown in Miami saying he needs Max to slip on a banana peel to win and then walking into a stanchion was fucking hilarious.
I laughed so hard at that. I was like, my guy, I was like, you are so lucky your driver won. Otherwise, this would have been the end. This would have been the end for you. You would have been roasted.
So funny. I could watch Max Lando, Alex, and George play paddle all day. I think paddle's such an interesting sport. I don't get it at all, but I could watch them play all day. I also forgot Max trucked that cone in Miami. That was hilarious to rewatch. I also love blue Ferraris. Like, please, please do it again.
There was a Sorry, I'm gonna pause you. I'm so sorry. There were a few races that I forgot were like really good. Like I forgot how good Baku was last year. And so watching them back, I was like, oh my God, like we actually had a really good season. For like a really good season. Anyway,
We had a
continue.
great season. So now we know the answer to this. So I'll clear this up in a sec. Toto looks so handsome in his Tommy Hilfiger. I will cry if Adidas makes him wear athletic wear because that man requires a collared shirt. As we saw, Toto's new uniform seems to be a white collared shirt, his standard, underneath an Adidas quarter zip. I'm okay with it. I hated watching Lewis win Silverstone with George being the storyline of the episode. I wanted it emotional and I wanted those scenes of Lewis on the podium with the British flag, and we didn't get them. Didn't like that.
I think that. Do you remember the first season of VTS when Lewis wasn't in it at all? I feel like Lewis doesn't want to be associated with DTS as much. Because, yeah, like we still got him this season, but like if you think about it, he's never really the storyline. It's
Well, I think
no.
honestly, I disagree. I think he was a storyline, but I think they used all of their Lewis storyline episodes for the Ferrari signing. That's what the Lewis storyline was.
But it was, but they had so much input and so much like B-roll and like clips from other drivers talking about it too, that I don't think that, like, I don't think Lewis wants to be associated with DTS, which is why, like, maybe they don't have as much from Silverstone because Lewis was like, this is my home race. Like, I don't want you guys to interfere. I don't want you guys to be in my way, kind of thing. Maybe he had that mentality. Whereas George is like, yeah, cameras are welcome in the garage. Like, focus on me, blah, blah, blah. That's how I see it.
It's
We
just my opinion. I'm
No,
just
that's
saying
fair.
I would have loved to have seen that race from Lewis's perspective rather than George's. That's all I'm saying.
No, yeah, you're right.
Steak was never a consideration for Carlos. What the fuck are we talking about? But then I also wrote, I also had no idea that his dad had ties with Audi though. So I suppose that makes sense, but like they're really there was no conversation there. It didn't seem like. It seemed like there actually was more of a conversation with Alpine, which made less sense because that was his former team. But everyone being annoyed that Carlos won't make a decision is hilarious. And that was all of us last season. I don't think I knew anything about Flavio Briatore before this, but holy shit, is he a badass? The way that he says, I'm wealthy enough to tell people to get away from me. I'm not diplomatic. I tell the truth. Like, this guy is me. Which is not the wealthy part,
But that personality and like how you, yeah, yep, that's you. That's you if you were a wealthy French man. Was he French?
I think he's
Italian?
Italian.
That is, well, you're Italian.
A different
You
universe.
are the man, Hannah.
Oh.
Here I am.
Look, I was just a puddle for the entire Charles Monaco episode. Cried when it happened. Cried when I watched it happen again. I assume because of trademark stuff that they weren't able to use Alex Jake's commentary when Charles actually did cross the line. I'm kind of glad actually because that would have made me cry again. I just love him. I'm so happy that he was able to prove to himself that he could do it because it truly was a personal thing for him, I think, that like he would get in his head when it came to Monaco. And I'm glad that he showed himself that he could do it. And I love when they show that he's like emotional, almost couldn't even finish the race because he was like emotional underneath his helmet and he's just watching and I'm getting his perspective. I mean, he was open about it at the time, but just seeing it back, I just love him. Okay, you're not gonna understand this, but Anze Kopitar jump scare. I was wondering why Zach Brown was wearing a Kings hat, and
The
now I
hockey
understand.
player.
So you do understand.
Well, yeah, because I remember, okay, I don't watch hockey, but there was a period where I like was not interested. Anyway, but that guy, he looked familiar when I was watching it, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then I saw afterwards that he's an LA Kings hockey player. And I was like, oh, that's why he looks familiar. And then I was like, why the fuck wouldn't they just put LA Kings hockey player? Why did he put Zach's best friend? Or Zach Brown's friend. I was like, that's insulting.
But earlier, like a few episodes before that, or maybe the episode before that, Zach was wearing an LA Kings hat, and I was like, that's weird. I wonder why. And
Well,
now it makes sense.
also, yeah, he was, yeah, I mean, maybe Box to Box, the production company, they created a hockey version of this, but it's not on Netflix, it's on Prime. So maybe they're trying to like promote. I don't
Maybe. I don't think Anze Kopitar was one of the. They followed like four or five players. Anze Kopitar, I don't think, was one of them. But yeah. But
Fascinating.
also, you'd think that if they were promoting their hockey series, they would put that he's an LA Kings player, which they didn't. So I don't know. I like how Lando handled the Austria situation in DTS. He wasn't just upset for himself, but he acknowledged that the first win was underwhelming for Oscar and that was true. And I think that at the time, there was a lot of conversation. We had conversations. We listened to conversations. People had opinions. Lando didn't necessarily speak. And as a result, people took his body language as how he felt about the situation. And I actually think that now, with a clearer head, he was able to speak about it very eloquently. I don't think that he painted himself in a bad light. I thought that was good. It was a shitty situation for everybody. Christian saying he'd rather have Oscar than Lando. That's when I made my note. I think this is because they wanted Lando and Lando didn't want them. The Twitch quartet plus Pierre with the behind the scenes footage is fucking awesome.
Loved it.
Could have watched the whole series in that type of shooting. Them trying to film Max and him saying "suck my balls" made me laugh so hard. Just because that's just Max.
That's
Like,
Max.
he's so unapologetically himself. George and Alex flying commercial is also fucking awesome. Them saying that Lando is too. I don't even know what they said. I don't know what they said.
I don't know, but they like
He's too big
fuck
shot
you,
or something
big
to
shot. Yeah,
something
because he's
like
flying with
that.
Max, you know, so.
Yeah. Lando saying he won't do the interview with his hat is so Emma coded.
Oh my God, yeah, he's like, well, wait, I think I had that in my notes and I skipped over it because I wasn't sure what I meant. Hang on. Fine, I won't do the interview. Bro, I love Lando. Okay. I had it in my notes too.
That's
Very,
you. That's
very
you.
much me. Okay,
Yeah.
fine. I just won't do it.
Fine. The sun's in my eyes. I actually just will step out of this one.
Okay, well, to be fair, it was for the best that I stepped out.
Wait, it took me so long to realize there's been no Danny Rick, which is dumb because he was on the grid for most of the season and Netflix loves him.
But then he had like an episode,
Yeah, but
kind
like it
of.
was like episode 6 or 7. I was like, wow, we got no commentary from Danny. He's Netflix's golden child. This is odd.
Did we? No, we didn't see any Logan Sargent.
No. No. Pierre always being late is very Hannah coded, is what I also then wrote. I love when other drivers talk about how hot Charles is. They're like, yeah, you people on the internet, you're just like us. We're just like you. We think it too.
But I will say George's comment about him having the best hair, or about him, like George himself having the best hair. Do you forget Carlos Sainz is on the grid?
Yeah, Carlos has that locked up. Yeah. George traveling with his own duvet and pillow is also Hannah coded. Charles wanting breakfast. This is wait. We're in the coding era. Charles wanting breakfast food for breakfast, even though his first meal is at 3 p.m., is also Hannah coded because I must eat breakfast food for the first time in the day. I cannot skip to pizza. I cannot skip to soup or lunch. I have to eat breakfast food first.
See,
Charles
even
is
if
crazy.
it's like 10 o'clock, I'll make macaroni or something.
Yeah,
It
I
just
know lots of
depends
people
on what
like,
I'm craving.
yeah, I'm not. Charles and I are not like that. I don't know actually. Oh, I think someone had a sign in Singapore that said, "Alex, I abandoned my husband for you." And I wrote, "I too would abandon my husband for Alex Albon." And then I wrote, "God, I just love Alex Albon." Also, the Kardashians of F1, honestly, yeah. And then there's Danny, not the Danny Mont. No, the Danny montage is making me cry. That's
Where
my
was
notes.
Danny?
I also thought that the way that the Red Bull contract situation shook out was interesting to watch on camera. The knowing what they were thinking, knowing who they were talking to at the time, what their thought was, and how that changed. But it really.
I thought it was interesting that they didn't really acknowledge the fact that they had signed Checo for an extension. They just kind of glossed over it and was like, we're looking at who's going to replace him. He's not doing good. We don't care that we've extended. We're going to look at who's going to come next.
I only have really like two more things to say, which is that I don't really think that whole thing showed me, and like we only see snippets, but they really never talked about Yuki. Like they really never brought it up. So like that shows me like he really wasn't in contention for the seat. Last thing I have to say is that George Russell did not win the Belgian Grand Prix. He did in fact get disqualified, but you would never know on Netflix because they didn't show it. And that's drama. That's like drama they don't have to manufacture. You have a race and then the race winner is gets it taken away from them. That's drama.
I thought this season of DTS was better than last season. Like, I actually
I
watched the
agree.
whole thing. But also because there was so much that happened last year, it was kind of nice to get like a refresher and be like, all right, Liam flipped off Checo when he passed him. Like, that was a huge FU, which I think that's why I wrote I love Liam, because that's just I respect it. But again, there was some stuff that was just like you could tell was scripted, or you not scripted, but like falsified and faked. Again, putting clips from Zandvoort into the Miami race, like okay, whatever.
Well, but as a result, Max Verstappen doesn't associate himself with DTS, and he never will. So it's like that's the risk that they're trying to take. And here's the thing, we can say it, but DTS worked,
Oh,
and it simply
absolutely.
works.
There are
So
so many people that I know now that like they're like, I'm gonna watch this new season of DTS. Like, I wanna know what's going on. And I'm like, honestly, it's a good season to watch. Like, some of it's fake, but most of what happened is accurate. Like, there was still drama.
And I think that you and I do come to it with a different perspective because I watch reality TV religiously. All the Bravo shows, all the Netflix reality shows, I watch them. I know the drama. I know what type of drama is off limits. I know what type of drama is not, which is not a lot of stuff that's off limits. So I'm like way less surprised that George Russell's crying on camera. Like way less surprised because I'm like, well, if we're being raw and real, that happened. So I don't know. We come to it with
That's
a different
no,
perspective.
that's a good point. We have, I think I forget that this is like one of those reality shows. Like, when it comes down to it, it's reality shows are never reality. And I think you're right.
But it's just differences in like our background. But I
I
think
did
we can
start
probably.
watching Temptation Island.
Excuse me, I actually have not watched that one because the premise is
It's
wild.
so insane. We won't get into it. But anyway, let's talk about the race.
We can get into the Australian GP now.
Before we get into the Australian GP, can I just say that you probably saw it when I posted on the story, but I started a fantasy league with some coworkers of mine, an F1
Yeah, I
fantasy
did see
league.
that.
Only two of us watch Formula One in the
Yeah.
office. There's 11 of us in the league.
Same.
And I hope it's okay with you, but this was decided without me. They've kind of all collectively agreed that the winner of the league gets to come on Track Talk.
Okay.
I said, I have to win this thing.
Okay.
Anyway.
Look, you ever get that though? Okay, this is the one thing about being a podcast host that I actually
Can I come on your
don't.
show?
Yes.
No,
I
absolutely not.
fucking hate that. I fucking hate it. Like, I'm sorry. That's like my 20 seconds of just going off. Don't ask. Like, I hate that. What do you want me to say? Like, I'm gonna say no, so don't be mad. Do
No.
you bring any knowledge? Because to me, you know what it does, Emma? You know, and maybe this is just me reading into it, but I'm like, so you think this is easy? Okay, now I know where I stand.
Are you
I'm
okay?
sorry. That one, it drives me
No,
bonkers.
I get it too. I'll get comments like, "Oh my God, can I come to your podcast?" And I'm like, "Why? Like, do you watch Formula One? You do? Great. Start your own podcast.
What do you?
Start your own podcast, actually. We've done this. We've got it covered."
I must say, zero people in the motorsport world have said this. This is people from daily life that do not watch motorsports. There is not one person that we've met in a paddock, in at IndyCar events, whatever, that we've been like, no, you can't come on our show. No, that's not who I'm
No,
talking
we
about.
want to collaborate with other creators, with other podcasters who are on like who have that same interest and same passion for talking about motorsports as we do. We're talking about the odd person you meet at like a bar and is like, "Oh my God, you have a podcast? Can I come on?" Absolutely not.
Well, and
Absolutely not.
you're in the dating scene, so that must be even worse than what I
I
experience.
had to remove it from my Hinge prompt because I'm like I had something mention a podcast on my Hinge prompt and they're like, "Oh my God, like, can I come on your podcast?" I'm like, absolutely not. What are you gonna, as a first date? No. Nope. Not gonna happen.
Like, I know it's a joke, but it pisses me off.
Hey, no, I get it. I'm on the same page as you. Also, to my dad who's listening, who always asks to come on the podcast, no, you can't. You're still gonna ask, but no, you can't. The only condition you can come on a podcast, maybe, is if Hannah is away on another trip and you watched the race. If you
That's what I
watched the
thought.
race that weekend and you have an input, then you can come on the podcast.
That's what I thought. Because I could see like you, okay, this is, well, I think Jordan watches F1 too. I could see like you and Jordan and maybe like Sam and Luke or Jared or whatever in an episode. Like if I'm not around, I could see you doing that. I think that'd be cute. And I could see myself if you were not around, I could see Lex coming and chatting because she's learning. So it'd be
Yeah.
different perspective. But
But to
I
the strangers or the people that we do not have a relationship with that are like, "Can we come on your
Yeah.
podcast? Can I come on your podcast? Oh my God, let me come on your podcast." It's the "let me come on your podcast," not even a "can I come on your podcast?" It is the "let me come on your podcast. I'm gonna shoot you." Absolutely
Yeah.
not.
It really bothers me.
Okay, we can talk about the race weekend now.
Okay.
Did you watch? You were up for qualifying. You watched
Watched
qualifying.
Quali. Look, I don't care if it's the first race of the year, I don't care if it's the 20th race of the year. I don't care. I won't watch practice.
I watched practice. I watched the first practice session.
I know
I
you
was
did.
wondering if you were gonna watch it because I was like, it's the first race of the year. Like maybe I was dumb to think that maybe.
I don't know, you guys. I think it's just because, like, what am I invested for? Like, I need competition. Like, what am I investing in
I
here?
think for me, I probably won't watch practice sessions moving forward, or maybe I will for like the next few races. But because there's so many rookies on the grid, I was like, I want to see how they compare. And then I think it was the second or third practice session. It must have been the third because I was not awake for the second. But I think it was the third practice session where the Williams were setting incredible times on medium tires and everyone else was on softs. And I was like, what type of rocket fuel did they put in the Williams? So it was for the first race this season. I did want to see it because I'm like, we don't know. We only know testing. Shit goes on between testing and the first race this season. Like, this is the first time they're at the track that they're going to be racing on the next day. And I thought it was, there was still stuff that happened. And like Liam, he didn't get a chance to run at all for the third practice session because of something that happened like early on in
Did
that,
he have
like
a gearbox issue?
there was some sort of gearbox issue. Yeah,
Or
I
was
think
it
that's what it
Ollie
was.
Bearman that had a gearbox
No, I think
issue?
it was Liam that had a gearbox issue, but Ollie did have an issue because he did hit the wall in one of the practice
Oh,
sessions.
so okay, because he missed out. That was as a result of his crash in Q or in practice in the
One.
third practice session. Oh,
Or
one.
third, maybe it was both. I don't actually know. But they both started from the pit lane for the race, is what
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, okay. I did see obviously like it look okay, I sound like an ignorant fan honestly saying I don't watch practice. I don't care when. But I need that like element of competition to be
Yeah.
invested. I do like that you said that you just wanted to see like what the rookies are all about, because I appreciate that. I think that that's smart actually. Maybe if it was on a like a more respectable time, I would have. But then if something crazy happens, I find out about it. So like Williams, I'm like, come on,
I know.
let's fucking go.
Yes.
Like that's great. So you know, it is what it is, but.
We talk about qualifying then. I don't remember. I'm trying to
Qualifying,
think what happened to qualify.
well, okay, so we just progressively lost more rookies. So in Q1 we lost.
Oh, I will say, watching Bortoleto like get into Q2 where Nico Hülkenberg didn't, I was like jaw dropped. I was impressed with that, because we also both Haas didn't make it to Q2. And neither did Hülkenberg, Liam Lawson. One more rookie didn't make it to Q2. Let's pull up these
Okay,
stats before we get it
I
wrong.
got it. Into Q2 went both hot, or whoa, out of Q. What? Out in Q1 went both Haases, Liam Hülkenberg, and Kimi Antonelli, which, yeah, that did happen. I was a little, he's like, I will protect him.
No, absolutely. I was rooting for him because it says a lot that Mercedes brought him on, first of all. It's like they saw something in him. So when he didn't make it into Q2, I was very hurt. I was sad. Like, I wanted him to do well. I will say he did make up for it during the race, absolutely.
Yeah, he did.
But then in Q2, knocked out was Isaac Kadjar, Alonso Stroll, and Jack and Gabriel Bortoleto. So three of the rookies, like the remaining three rookies, did not make it. But props to Isaac Hadjar for
You called
finishing.
it, actually. Caitlin asked in the fan app group chat how many rookies you think we're gonna make it into Q3, and you said none, and I was like, that's bold,
Well, I
but you're
had no
right.
faith.
You were right.
I love these rookies. I do. I had no faith. Yeah, and then we saw McLaren lockout in the front row. Verstappen P3, George Russell P4, and then Yuki Tsunoda and Alex Albon in the third row. When I saw that ahead of both Ferraris, I was like, we, as Ferrari fans, Boston actually made a really good post about it. Saying, what did she say? It was like on her story. It was like, it's not even. Did you see her post?
I don't know. I see them all, but I don't know if I remember
Let
it.
me see if it's still up there, because it made me laugh. Oh, God. No, it's not there. But it was something that, like, we were never back. We were right where we left off. Like, as like Ferrari fans, or like as Ferrari. And I was like, okay, yeah, she's so right. She's onto something. But seeing both Williams in the top 10, like, even though Carlos, like, he started from P10, like, I was like, they gaslit us. Like, Carlos and Alex and James, like, they all gaslit us into thinking, like, this is a growing year for Williams. Like, we're not gonna do much. Like, Carlos is here to help us grow the team. Like, we're eventually gonna get back on top, not this year. Looking at Alex Albon starting in P4, looking at what they did on like the medium hard tires compared to the soft tires, I was like, those motherfuckers gaslit us and everyone on the grid. They are out for blood this year, I think. They
Hey,
are gonna
wait.
have, no, I'm so serious. They are gonna
No,
pull.
listen.
Okay.
When did they say that it was a growing year? Because did we not have a conversation about how James was being bold about how he said that Williams gonna finish ahead of Ferrari?
Okay, James said that. I think you're right. But Carlos has said on record, he's like, that Williams is not getting a podium this year. And I
Okay.
think Alex as well has the same mindset. Like, we're still growing. Like, we have faith in Williams, but we're not. James, maybe James didn't gaslight us. Maybe James, we didn't believe him because we're like, okay, you're ahead of Ferrari. Got it. Carlos gaslit us. We can say that. How about that? This
Okay.
that motherfucker gaslit everyone on the grid. And Alex showing up P4, I was just like, okay, they're coming for blood. They're gonna pull a McLaren 2023. When McLaren was literally a tractor, the worst. And the thing is, they're already one step ahead. Williams is not a tractor. but they're gonna come out on top. They're gonna hear, they, mark my words, will have three podiums by the end of this year. Don't know if it's gonna be a win, but they're gonna have three podiums. I'm gonna write that
Wow.
down.
Not 1 week ago in our puppy interview, did you say
Have no
they
faith in
were not
humans.
going to get a podium and you had no proof?
You're right, I did. So I'm gonna clip this and stitch it. Because you're so right. 1 week ago, exactly 1 week ago, I was like, absolutely not. They're not getting a podium. I have no faith in them. I'm pretty sure I said that word for word. And now I'm like, they're gonna get
Yeah.
three. They're gonna get three.
Well, that's going to be a great clip.
Okay, what day is it today? Three podiums. We're gonna come back to this. Anyway, McLaren lockout front row. Kind of mad it wasn't Oscar. Not that I'm an Oscar fan, but it was his home race. I always want a home driver to do well at their home race. So.
I don't know if there's anything more necessarily to say about qualifying.
No, I think we can just get into the race because there's a lot to say about the race.
There's a lot to go.
Starting off, Isaac Hajar.
Okay, I'm so interested to see what your opinion of this is.
I, well, broken. My, like, he, I want to just, like, protect him. Like, he's so. Not even that he's not even the youngest driver on the grid. Like, it's not that he's young, but I think that he's like he's so grateful for this opportunity and to be like on Racing Bulls, to be next to Yuki, like, and to be like in that same family as Max, as Liam, as some of the great drivers, right? Like, Isaac knows he's got this amazing opportunity, and it's his first race, first full-time Formula One seat, and just to see him out on the formation lap, my heart broke. And it would have broke if it was Jack, if it was Ollie, if it was any of the other rookies, because that is their first race, like full-time
Maybe not
driver.
Ollie, but yeah.
But like this full, but now he's a full-time seat kind of thing. Like, that is like, he's here, he wants to make an impression, he's not just thrown in. Like, it would have broken regardless of what who the rookie was. Like, they, like, this is their first race. This is what they're going to take back and what they're going to like remember. No one remembers their like 10th race or their like 21st race. Like, it's your first race, it's your first win, it or your first podium, it's your last race. You know, it's like, it's though, it's like there's moments in this sport that a driver will hold on to. And so it breaks my heart that that is his first race moment. And then to see him leave and like walk through the paddock, I wanted to fight those freaking reporters. And like, just seeing how many cameras were around him, like, and I get it. I know it's motorsports. Like, it's a very public sport. It is watched globally. But I think I don't know. I just felt I wanted to just like shield him because it was like he's crying. Like, this is a very vulnerable moment for him. Like, his first race. He doesn't even get to race. Like, it's ruined. And so I just felt like he deserved a little bit more privacy. I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe a little bit more respect and to not be hounded with the cameras. Like, if I, like, think, like, I'm trying to think, like, what I could compare it to in my life, but I literally can't because that moment is so important and huge. And he just probably wanted to go back to his garage, which is all the way down the freaking paddock, because we know that how they set it up compared to last year's like position results for constructors. And so he probably just wanted to go and just like be by himself or be with his team or his engineer and cry. And he has to walk through all of those cameras, all those people who just want to quote. He probably doesn't want to talk to fucking anybody. Why would he? Like,
Were
this
people
is
asking him questions?
probably, like, I would assume so.
Okay, I didn't, in the footage that I saw, I didn't see anybody asking him questions. So that's why I'm asking, or hear
I
anybody.
don't think we could hear, but like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's like paparazzi, but in the paddock, do you know? Like, they're going to be shouting out things or they're going to be wanting to get something out of him. He's walking with his head down. But saving grace, Anthony Hamilton. Like, for him to just kind of like probably push through the cameras, like, and like get to him and stop him and just give him those words of encouragement. Like, what he say? He said, like, I treated him like a, like, a father, or like I don't know exact quotes that he said, but like knowing how much Isaac looks up to Lewis and like one like is probably his idol, that must have meant like worlds to Isaac for Anthony to leave the Ferrari garage, to leave watching what like his son is gonna do, to go and support a driver who clearly needs it, like who is going through it. So I went through like many emotions in 10 seconds, like just watching Isaac. But I don't want to get emotional. But Anthony, like, no, for did you hear my voice crack? Like crack for a second. I was like, I don't want to get emotional. But I like, he's a good man, and just like, I hope Isaac's okay, and I know he'll do better like next race, and like, but I just felt so bad for him, and then I wanted to kill all those cameramen, and then I just wanted to put Anthony Hamilton on his own podium pedestal. Those are my thoughts. Thank you for
Okay.
listening.
I half agree with you.
Had a lot of
I
emotions. I'm on my
think,
period
yeah.
too, I will
I,
say.
you know what? You that there's if y'all haven't noticed after how many episodes of the show, there's a difference between Emma and I. Emma leads with emotions,
I wear my
and
heart on my sleeve. I have a tattoo
yes, you
there.
do. You do. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You lead with your emotions, and that is you. That is you are unapologetically you.
Logical.
I take a second. Well, I can be emotional, but it takes me a little while to get there.
You have reasoning. Like you are like it's how am I
No,
gonna say,
don't do
not that
that to
I don't
yourself.
have reasoning, how am I supposed to word this?
No,
You're
no, no.
smarter,
I
you're smart is what I'm gonna say. I
don't do that to
No,
yourself.
not that I'm not smart. I'm a genius. I actually just signed up for an extended learning course because I want to learn more. Don't know if you saw my story, thinking about moving to Surrey, England. Anyway, for school.
Okay.
But you logic, smart. You are like, let's think about this. And me, I'm like,
I
I'm gonna
do
kill
take a second.
someone.
Yeah, I do take a second. I do take a second before I
React.
react. You lead with
React.
emotion. So this scenario is exactly how you and I act. You wanted to kill everybody. I was like, okay. So we're seeing him. I didn't have any issues with seeing him emotional walking through the paddock at first. I was like, okay, this is Formula One. This is the highs and the lows. He's not the first driver that's cried on camera. He's not going to be the last driver that's cried on camera. He is showing his personality right now, actually, and I think that a lot of people are going to admire him for this. And then it got to be too much. Then it was too many clips or too long. They did hold on to it for too long, I will say. I don't have any issue with seeing the emotions play out at the beginning, but it did get to be too much. I agree. But then you're right. Then you have the Anthony Hamilton moment, which we could have probably cut away from a second and then come back when Anthony was there. And that was truly like it's bigger than sports. And that's one of those moments where you do realize that, like Anthony said in his interview afterward, not only did I feel for him, but I feel for his parents. He's like, I've been in that position. You work your whole life to see, well, you work your whole life, and then your parents wait their whole lives to see this moment for you. And then this is what happens. So, you know, that was so beautiful, beautiful to see. You really can just, by hearing Anthony talk, you understand why Lewis is the person that he is. And I think that, I mean, even their voices sound the same. So I was like, wow, this is just, you know, beautiful. And Isaac had made it so clear before the race that Lewis was his guy. That was his number one. He like is a little fangirl when Lewis is around. And it's nice to see because, you know, that's an absolute legend of the sport. So to have Anthony come and console him, I think that was, you know, class. It was a class act from Anthony. I liked to see it too, because, you know, it does help people remember that this is more than sports. And then, oh shit, where was I going with that? I got
How they
lost.
like they how you were saying how they like held on to that moment for too long,
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, and they did. But oh, I know what I was gonna say. But this is my closing remarks on this. I said it in the fan app group chat. This is Isaac Hajar's villain origin story coming in hot. Not villain necessarily, but This is, he's taking this. He'll never forget this ever. And anything that he accomplishes in the future, this will be the catalyst of it all, right? I
That
mean, obviously you work your whole life to like come to this moment. So like not just one instance where you're heartbroken. Is that going to fuel your whole career? But everyone's been in that scenario where like something has happened and you've held it with you for a long time and held it as motivation. This was the motivation, I think, for him going forward to prove what he can do in that Racing Bulls car.
I like that perspective, and I hope it's true. We like he qualified P11. Like we know he's a good driver.
Only 6/10ths off of
Carlos.
making it into,
Oh no, not Carlos.
I think it was actually Yuki.
Maybe Yuki. So like I hope you're right. Like I hope he uses this as fuel. Truly. No pun intended. Do the anyway. Yeah. Okay. I love that.
But yeah, formation lap, that happens. The start was brilliant by Lando, actually.
And Max shortly after though taking over like overtaking Oscar that happened right away. Like we just like right off the bat we're like we're gonna get a fight between these two this year absolutely, and even like throughout the race like we were like toward like jumping ahead but like at the end there I was like Max could win this. Max could very easily win this.
No,
So
you're
I
right.
thought it was, I really hope that this start was an indicator for how the season is going to go. Like, give me a battle. Give me a war. Not a war, but a battle. Maybe a war.
How things happened in succession during the race is a little fuzzy to me because I did stay up, but I was so fucking tired.
I know. I get it. I get
And there were so many
it.
different calls and pit strategies that were happening concurrently because from the start of the race, we knew there was going to be rain at some point. It was progressively getting darker. We knew because we heard radio messages, it's going to come in 6 laps, it's going to come in 2 laps, it's going to last this amount of time. And there were similar radio messages. And then there was Ferrari, which was like completely on its own other system. I don't really know what they saw. They might have been looking at Maranello. I think they maybe forgot to change the location. They forgot to change the location, I'm pretty sure. I don't know where I was at. So anyways, but going back to this, the original start, no issues on the first corner, which I was like, wow,
None.
it's great. But then who was the next one out? Oh, it was Jack. Jack hit the barrier. And then what?
Sorry, I'm trying to find a lap by lap analysis because usually it
Oh,
does
that's
that. But I think you're right. I think it was Jack, and then Jack was the catalyst because then we saw Carlos out immediately
Carlos.
after.
Correct. Carlos, so what had happened with Jack, and I am assuming with Isaac too, just based on the onboard, was the white painted lines got extremely slippery compared to the rest of the track. And if they held on to those white painted lines, that threw them off the track. And that's essentially what happened to Isaac and to Jack. And then Carlos ended up having a brake failure, actually. He said
Is that what it was?
his radio message was odd. He was like, I felt a surge and then I lost control in the car and the car just went off. So I think they related it back to a brake issue.
Oh, I didn't know it was that.
Because he didn't go head first into the barriers, but he said that there was like a he, I don't even know what words he used. So there was like a surge in the car and then he went off. So that sucked. Obviously, everybody was looking forward to seeing how Williams was going to perform, how Carlos was going to perform in his first race with Williams. We were kind of robbed of that too. So automatically we're like 3 cautions in and really only 5 laps in
Yep.
at this point.
It wasn't until like lap 8 that we finally got a green flag because they were just like it was just yellow flag.
Which is so I had Cam with me. I was like, you're gonna stay up to watch the race because I need to be held accountable. I'm like, you need to stay up with me or else I'll fall asleep. So, but he was also tired. And after like the third caution or yellow flag, Cam was like, look, like I'm trying. He's like, I don't even watch this sport. I'm trying for you. He's like, but we're on lap 8 and I really haven't seen any racing. There's already 3 people out. Like, and you know
It
what? Fair.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was like insane at the start, and then in the middle we were like, is just like it was kind of dull, but
I
then
agree.
like right at the end it kind of picked up again. I'm
Who was
just
out after Carlos?
after Carlos, I'm pretty sure it was Alonso,
Alonso, okay.
but I'm scrolling up because I'm just going through lap by lap on planetf1.com and lap 25 out of 57. Charles Leclerc is being drenched in water.
Oh my God.
Apparently his drink bottle failed though, is what it says, but I thought it was just from the fucking rain.
No, it you knew yeah, it was from the drink bottle. It gave me us the probably the best radio message I've ever heard. If you didn't see it, I'll reenact it for you. Actually, let's do it together, Emma. So I'll be Charles. Is there a leakage?
Leakage of what?
I'm just soaked in water. My seat is full of water.
It must be the water.
Let's add those to the words of wisdom.
Quote unquote, like line, like word for word, must be the water. I'm sorry for swearing so much this episode. No fucking shit. No shit. It must be the water. I'm telling you, it's the, I'm telling you, I'm soaked in water. Why? Water? Water.
Well, yeah.
Like,
I
I
assume it's
died.
because Charles didn't say, is there a water leakage? But what else would be leaking in the cockpit?
Okay. I saw some comments on this on Twitter afterwards, and I don't know if you had an issue or what, but I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't really paying attention to the timing screen or like the driver table fucking whatever. But there were a lot of people that had commented that or made notes that they weren't updated fast enough or like the intervals
Yeah.
weren't accurate or it was only like time after like Lando how much time there was. Because I guess at some point it showed that Max was right behind Lando and then a few laps later it showed 15 seconds behind and everyone was like where did this come from? Like when
Yeah.
Like, why would so? I don't know if that was an issue for you or you noticed that, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, I didn't. Like, I wasn't.
I didn't until someone pointed it out in the fan app chat. And then I was like, oh, yeah, actually, that is weird. And I thought it was weird too from the beginning, because from the beginning, it didn't. So there's two ways to do timing. There's timing off the leader, or there's timing off of the person in front of you. And for the longest time, they were doing timing off the leader. So that's when every time gets consecutively larger, because really, you're just going off of how far you are away from the leader, which is not really how we do things in F1. Like that's not
It's
really,
IndyCar. You see that in IndyCar.
yeah, you do see that in IndyCar, but that's not really how they do things in F1. They usually do time off the leader, which, or sorry, time off the person in front of you, which makes the most sense because it helps you understand the gaps and also for DRS. So that was weird. And then people were saying it wasn't changing. And then I noticed it and I was like, I wonder if this is, I hope this is a kink, like a first race of the season kink, but this is weird.
I'm going off what you said for IndyCar on Fox. I am not going to be negative. I address it. They're going to fix it. It gets better. It's their first race of the season. But yeah, I honestly didn't notice it. And I wasn't chatting too much with the fan app because I was watching the race on my phone. So I could not just switch between. Anyway, at lap 30, I'm just reading off here. Piastri caught up to Lando. And immediately afterwards, Lando or McLaren told Oscar to hold position and to not race. Immediately, like as soon as he was like within fighting distance, they were like, "Don't do it." Like, I'm sorry, home race, let them fucking fight. Let Oscar have a chance here. And then a lap later, Zac Brown, not the engineers, Zac Brown gets on the radio and said, "It's time you guys can go racing," or "It's time to go racing," something like that. But at that point, Oscar had already fallen like a few seconds behind Lando. And mind you, like the track is drying at this point, which is great, but there's still not a lot of traction that he has on those tires. Like they went into pit like afterwards. Like obviously the pit strategy favored Lando because he wasn't the lead, but like they should have let them go racing, or they should have made the call when Oscar was catching up, not when he was already up there, and not like when he was falling behind. You're gonna say time to go racing? Motherfucker's 2 seconds behind you already. There's no racing happening.
Well, I think they either should have stuck to one scenario or another. Either we're racing or we're not. Not
I
like
know.
going back and forth. But I know it's his home race. Based on qualifying order, I actually thought it was. I thought they maybe should have. I thought the instruction to hold position was actually okay. Only because this track was too wet to risk. Now you're risking both McLaren's position here. You're risking points on both cars. So that
Absolutely.
was my only thing where I was like, I get it, a matter of circumstance, because we're in a wet race and you just don't want to like lose out on both cars here.
I think that, yeah, I think you're right. The position to hold should have been, it should have stayed. Like, they shouldn't have switched it. But the fact that Zach Brown got on the radio to say,
Yeah.
like, just kidding, now you can go racing, I feel
Yeah.
like he was worried that he was going to have a repeat of like the Papaya Rules incident from last season, where they were
Yeah.
like, no, if we don't let Oscar fight at his home race, like, we're going to look like the bad guys. He's
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
let me get ahead of this. Let me say they can go racing now and like get ahead of it. But at that point, it was too late for Oscar to do anything.
You know what though? Like, McLaren, figure it out in the off season. We had a PR disaster last year with this shit, with the papaya rules shit, and now we're starting off another season. Like, it wasn't, there really was no bad blood, but it looked like they didn't know how to handle it. And
No.
it's like, if you
Well,
know that your car is so good that you're gonna have two people at the front of the grid week after week, you're gonna need to know how to handle the who when can race and when you can, the papaya rule shit. Get your shit together.
that is what threw me off too, because I'm like, you are starting this race with under the impression that you were going to carry P1 and P2 throughout the entire race. Your drivers are starting P1 and P2. You have strategies lined up for P1 and P2. What do
Correct.
you mean you wait till after Oscar gets that position back from Max to then make a decision and then make another decision? That was chaotic.
Yeah.
We cannot keep having that this
And it
season.
was like damage control. Like, they
That's what
pulled
it was.
Max
That's what
in,
it felt like. It
and
felt
then it
like
was like,
damage control.
yeah. And I'm like, no, this is too early in the season to be doing damage control. You need to have faith that both your cars are going to be fighting one and two, and you need to have a plan for that, okay? And I'm like, I won't feel bad if they continue to get criticized for this, like, into the season, because you need to know how to handle this. Like, you had a whole season last year that ended up in a PR nightmare because you
I know.
didn't. And then you had an off season to figure it out, and you didn't.
And you didn't. And you didn't. It's cool.
So we'll see that we're gonna have to monitor that clearly. Notice how the papaya rules comment was not showed on DTS.
Yeah. They probably just really wanted to get rid of it or like
I
not
thought that
acknowledge
was
it.
interesting. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Shortly after, though, Fernando Alonso crashed, and that's when a lot of drivers came in to box for new tires.
Do you understand the joke of Fernando being a rookie? Because I don't get it.
I don't get it, and I think it's Gen Z humor because the rookies just claim Alonso as one of them, and I respect it. I get
But I
it.
didn't know.
It's
Okay,
so
so I saw that interview with Laura Winter, which was fucking hilarious because it
so
was like,
funny.
I think she's fantastic. And it was just Laura Winter and then all the guys, and she is like babysitting. Like,
Yeah.
they were,
She's like,
that's just how it
boys,
felt.
boys, listen,
Boys,
listen.
yeah.
Boys, come on.
And that was so good. But I didn't know whether the Fernando as a rookie started in that interview, like when Kimi and Ollie were like, yeah, Fernando is a rookie. I didn't know if like that joke started then or if they saw it somewhere else and that's why they were claiming it as like.
I think the Fernando as a rookie depth started it had to be outside of that interview. But it's so funny that everyone is now just like clung on to it because Alonso, one of the rookies, has crashed, unfortunately. It was very sad. I will say I did stop watching the race to hop pop into fan app and say, Lance Stroll didn't crash into a wall. Just saying. Just saying.
Emma.
I had to. I had to. With all of the comments, everyone messaging saying, or like everyone talking about how he's into the wall. And I'm like, who's in the wall in the first race? It's not Lance. It's not Lance. I had to say something.
We can't. After every race that Lance finishes, we cannot have that.
Why not?
Because.
Okay, fine, but we can have it if his teammate goes into the wall and he doesn't.
I feel like you make the rules here in terms of Lance stuff, but
I thought it was great how McLaren went in for like a double stacked like pit stop, and they were both in and out before Max even hit the pits. Like at that point, we were like, McLaren's got it.
yeah. Yep. Ferrari did actually have the fastest pit stop of the day, though.
They did. That's true. They got that right. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, too bad their weather machine was in Maranello. After Fernando, so how many guys is that out now? How many is that out? That
Jack,
is.
Carlos, Isaac, Fernando, and it's not till later that Liam
Right.
went out. When was that though? Oh, hang on, let me see. Oh. Lap 44 out of 57, Piastri is out. But it said out, but he wasn't actually out. He just like lost it,
Oh,
like,
yes.
and went to the,
Both McLarens actually lost it.
yeah, but Oscar lost it,
Yeah.
like he was into the grass, and then I thought it was,
Fernando was in the grass too, but he saved it back on track. Yeah.
I thought it was so entertaining, like to watch the clips afterwards, like when he started reversing, how much the crowd was cheering him on, like just was like rooting for him to like not give up. Put it back on the track, like you got this. Like that was such a good moment, just like as a fan to see like how much support Oscar had. Like even if they weren't McLaren fans, like everyone was cheering him on. It was
Yeah.
so entertaining to see.
Yeah, that was good.
We had, I'm trying to think. It was shortly after that, literally like not even that many laps later. We had Liam and Bortoleto both out.
Right, Gabby, yes.
I don't know exactly what happened. I know like track is wet. Okay, I will say though, and we have a little bit more insight because we work with people that work with Liam Lawson. So Liam wanted or like needed to go into the pits to like for new tires, and unfortunately his pit crew team wasn't ready, and they told him to do one more lap, and it was on that additional lap that he spun out. Like he had absolutely no grip, he had no control over the car, and so it was just poor timing for the pit stop that he wasn't able to make it around. And they like called Max into pit first for that, and like so Max was fine and he was ready, but I think under that condition, like everyone was slipping and sliding all over the track, and like
Yeah.
I get. Like Liam at that point had worked his way up quite a bit and was doing a really good job. Same with Bortoleto. Like they were all doing amazing, like the rookies that were still in. So it's shitty, shitty circumstances for Liam. And I feel like Liam as well, like had so much pressure on him. Like he started from the pit lane. He like knew he had so much to prove during this race. And it's as close as I would say it's as kind of home race. Like there's so many like New Zealanders that came to watch the race like for him. So it's just, I thought it was like a very, very unfortunate end to his first race weekend. Like, again, seeing all these rookies out, I mean, Liam's not a rookie, but like seeing all these newer drivers out on their first race, like it stings. Like, I was really hoping that Liam could do well, and he was. He, at one point, or at a few points, he did have the fastest lap. Like, and he's also never raced on that track before. I think I'm a Liam defender. I think I really do want him to do well. Like, I don't know how I feel about Red Bull, but I like Liam, and it could it am I glitching? Am I good?
You're good now.
Okay. Maybe it's because I met him and I talked to him for like 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, I like you. Like, I want you to do well. Like, that's why we like the Indy drivers, because we know them. Like, we talk to them. Like, we can't choose a favorite because we love them. I'm trying to think. I literally lost my train of thought. It was a shitty weekend for Liam. Not how he would have wanted to start his first week. And I feel like there was so much slander for him on social media as well. Like everyone comparing him to Checo, everyone saying that Yuki should have gotten the seat. Like there were so many storylines from this weekend. So many. But I just saw like 90% Liam, I swear to God. And I just feel like that was kind of uncalled for. Like.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like just another Checo type comments, and I'm like,
Like, okay, how about we talk about the fact that, let's talk about how Kimi Antonelli, like, started at the back of the grid, finished P4, P5, and then P4. Or let's talk about the
like
fact
back to
that,
P5.
really, was it back to, is now back to P5?
Oh, no, you're right.
P5,
It was
P4, P5, P4.
P4, P5, P4, yes.
Or, like, let's like I don't know. There's so many other storylines from this weekend that deserved attention. Also, like in good light and bad light, like let's talk about this. But no, we're only going to spend our energy focusing on Liam and how he's just another checko. Like, I just think that's completely unfair. I
I
didn't
mean,
like it.
but like I think that the people that are writing it too, they must be like they must be like what's that, rage baiting? Because
Clickbaiting.
well,
Is that
rage
it?
baiting too,
Yeah.
because people will get mad and then comment, because like obviously it's not another Checo. He's younger, he's like, I don't actually know, he's younger, he hasn't even raced in this car before,
We're at
so
this track.
we're at this track and he's still like, give him a second, he's still learning.
Give him a
Checo
second.
was like near the end of his career. Like it's a different like situation
Yeah.
entirely. So like I don't
And
know, like
we can argue that like Yuki did have a better race weekend in the V carb. Like we know he did. He qualified better. He had a decent, like a good result. Yuki's been driving that car. Yuki's been on that team for years. Like
I mean, I do honestly fear that every single session, including qualifying, that Yuki outperforms Liam, that's the rhetoric. And that's not going to change all season. Like, I guarantee.
that's a difficult seat. Liam, his first time in the seat, first time aside from testing, give him a break. Give him a minute.
Yeah.
Give him a day. My God. It's his
Yeah.
first race.
I know.
Let's chill.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. Like, Yuki has had time in the V carb, and like,
Like,
I don't know if necessarily like pointing out every single time he's out qualified by Yuki is like getting anybody anywhere.
it's not. It's just ridiculous. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
but you see it, like there's people, I
That's true.
people like people that don't think Liam deserves a seat, that he didn't do enough to really show that he deserves that seat. But it's like we don't, like none of us are on this team. None of us work with Red Bull. None of us work with V Carb. We don't know what goes on. Like, we know how well Liam did in the Formula Series, like in F2 and F3. We know how well he did in the like Super Formula Series in Japan. Like, he's a good driver. The Red Bull is a fucking difficult car.
Yeah.
Give him a break.
Yeah. Just give him a sec.
Give him a sec. Lando won.
I know one. I look, tried. I fell asleep with 3 laps left.
I fell asleep as soon as Lando crossed the finish line. I was
Three
out. I
laps.
didn't watch the podium. I passed out. I
I
woke
don't
up.
even know how George got on the podium.
I also don't know. I have no idea. You guys, we were tired. It was not, everyone was tired, but it was not a good time for us because it was like, listen, we go to bed early, okay? Like, we're not people who stay up past midnight. The fact that this race went on to like almost 1 a.m., I don't
No,
know how we
no,
made
no.
it as far as we did,
It was
but
1 a.m. or is it?
I don't
I
know.
thought it was later than that. I was like,
I don't know.
man.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see George at all. I don't know what he was doing that whole race. Good for him, I guess. He must have been running in fourth that entire time. And then when Piastri fell back, like George was like, oh my God, it's my chance.
Yeah, maybe. I obviously like do want to shout out the fact that Alex Albon had the performance that he had, and also that Kimi Antonelli had the performance that he had, going from P16 to P5, extremely commendable. People knew going into this that
To
Kimi,
P4.
P4, I
Yeah.
know. There was the,
It was
so it was
P4, P5, not
P4,
P4.
then he got a penalty, and then he was put back to P5, but then they contested the penalty, and then he was back to P4. That's so close to a podium. That's
That
so
is so close to a podium
close.
for his first race.
Yeah.
I love it.
But it was understood. I didn't know this because I didn't follow Formula 2, but he's very good in the wet. So that's great for a race like this. And he showed it. I am obviously happy for Williams. It is supposedly thanks to Carlos, who made the strategy call.
I saw that he was able. He was so proud of himself. He's like, I was able to help outside the car too. Like, which we know this. Carlos is part-time strategist. Like, he did it
Yes.
in the car. Of course, he's doing it outside of the
Yeah.
car.
He was his own strategist for the longest time,
His
and
own engineer,
I
his own
love,
strategist. He probably
yeah.
changed his own tires.
I love the fact that he got into the garage and was like, all right, I have a different job now. My race is done, but our day is not. And he decided when they should pit, and it worked out magically for Alex. So that was awesome.
Alex had a like superb race. Like he held his own throughout that entire time. Like props to the mechanics and like props to that team. Like good job, Williams. Good job, Williams.
I don't really want to talk about Ferrari because that sucked, but I will just
Yeah.
give credit where credit is due. I don't think it'll be a long-term thing, but Sauber currently has more points than Ferrari and more points than they did for the entirety of last season. So,
And last the year before.
and the year before too. Okay, and the year before. So, congratulations to Mr. Nico Hülkenberg and Mr. Gabriel Bortoleto.
It's insane that Sauber is ahead of Ferrari. Like, absolutely insane. They
It
didn't have
is.
any points last year. I was explaining fantasy to like my coworkers, and I was like, whatever you do, do not put the Kick Sauber drivers or their constructor on your team. I was proven wrong. I was totally proven wrong. So put them on your
Also,
team. I don't care.
apparently, they are still with stake this year, but they just couldn't be stake in Australia.
That doesn't shock me. Oh, I also want to give a final shout out because we got Loints. Lance
P6?
Loints. P6. I could have cried. Like it was probably for me, it's a win. You know that one meme where that guy's on the podium like celebrating, he's drinking, like it's a cartoon. He's drinking champagne, biting the metal, and then it zooms out and he's like fucking 10th place on the podium. That's how I felt watching Lance get P6. I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna post a picture of it because I know exactly how I feel right now. But that's how I felt watching him get P6. I'm like, this is a win. A win is a win. It's not a win, but a win is a win. A win is a win.
I really liked their video that they did, or maybe it was just photos, I actually don't know, with Hugo Boss, where they're both wearing half of a
There was
suit.
a video. It was, I cried at that. It was so funny.
I like the concept.
Lance is, he's doing a little bit more. He's doing it. We can see it. There is someone on his team that is like, just put your fucking face out there. I'm sorry for swearing so much this episode. And that apology mostly goes to my dad because he tells me I swear too much in every episode. It's deserved though. It's the first race weekend. A lot happened.
I expect one day when I meet your dad for him to be like, you,
Need to eat more oranges.
we need to eat oranges and we need to have a conversation. I don't have scurvy, just so everybody knows. And we need to have a conversation about all that swearing. But I
Yeah.
come from a very passionate
Italian
sports
family.
fan base, Italian household. That is how we speak.
Yeah, I get it.
I do want to say, back to Isaac, real quick, actually. Helmut Marko made some comments today that
I
I'm not happy with.
screenshotted it because I was like, I'm literally gonna. I saw one. I'm sorry. Okay. I saw one post about it. What did the quote? What did it say? Quote, like Isaac Hadjar did a little bit of crying after his crash. That was a bit embarrassing. I saw a response to it saying, "How about I crush you up into dust and blow you away, like or something like that, you old man or something." Like it was like people are going after Helmut Marko.
I mean, people don't like Helmut Marko to begin with. We are people.
We
His
don't know.
comments oftentimes are just unbelievable.
Shouldn't I'm not surprised he said something like that. Of course he
No,
would.
I'm 0% surprised. But what I will say on it is that and comments like that coming from a team exec are just perpetuating the stigma where men cannot feel feelings, cannot
Or
show
men
emotion,
can't cry,
cannot
men, yeah.
cry, can't show their feelings. That's an extremely outdated way of thinking. We
Well, look
know.
at him. He's outdated. Sorry
I
for
know,
yelling.
and he has not. I know, but I want everybody to know that anybody who takes, I don't know if I think anyway, if you listen to the show, you know that Helmut
You can
Marko just
cry.
says what he wants to say. But I want everyone to know that, that is from someone who has an extremely outdated way of thinking, as shown by other comments. So this is, that's not the masses. We are moving forward as a society. Comments like this are hurtful towards that. But, I thought it was, like we said, you thought it was maybe too much camera. I thought it was necessary to show, just because you do need to show these emotional moments and show that, people have emotions and they're not just stone cold. And that was really raw and real. And I appreciate that they showed it. And I hope that Isaac literally just rolls his eyes and is like, all right, bet, see ya in China. Because that's the next GP.
In 5 days, the race weekend starts. Qualifying.
Are
I'm
we
gonna.
racing this weekend again?
It's a sprint weekend, actually.
Whoa, hold on.
It's a sprint weekend. I just remember China is a sprint weekend. They have one practice session, then they have sprint quali, then they have sprint, then they have quali, and then they have race. I'm not
Not
wrong.
only is it an F1 weekend, but it's also IndyCar Thermal.
To be fair, though, the race is at 2 a.m. on Sunday. I will not be awake for that. Like, I'm not. I can't do it. I'm not staying up, and I'm not waking up. You can. Love that for you. Absolutely. 10 out of 10. I'm pointing at Hannah, but if you're listening to this and you want to stay up for it, fucking do it. I respect it. Me, no.
The only reason why I can is because I live in this apartment by myself, in this place where my family does not live, and my girls' weekend was canceled. So I probably will because the responsibilities that I have the next day are few.
I won't even try.
That's
Sorry.
fair.
I will watch it the next day, and then I will watch thermal, and then we will have two races to talk about. And it's a sprint weekend, and
That's our
I
first Track Talk doubleheader of the year.
don't have her baby. That's exciting. We have that to look forward to. I can't wait. I'm pumped. We're
So
ready.
excited.
Let's take on China. Let's take on thermal. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, we are so back. Racing is so
We are
back.
so back. Ferrari, not so much. But track talk, me and Hannah, let's go. We're back, baby. We were
But
back, but now we're really back.
Ferrari might be back again, though, because we just sent someone to help them out.
Me and Hannah personally sent Boston over to Italy with the toolbox to help out at Maranello at headquarters.
And we're confident that she can bring changes, maybe not to the Chinese Grand Prix, but to the race after that.
Absolutely. Boston is smart. She is. She gets shit done. She is going to storm into Maranello and she is going to fix Ferrari.
Yeah, she's working on her plan ASAP. So,
Okay, I think we can end it there. Anything else to add?
well, in short, Boston moved to Italy.
Yeah, good for her. We love that for her. We were shocked. We were blindsided. Guess that means we got to go to Italy because you know what? The last few races we've been invited to has been where Boston has lived. So it just makes sense that we are now invited to Italy because Boston lives there.
Monza, it's your move.
Let's go, baby. Monza's behind me, I think. I don't even know. I think that's it, though. Do you have anything else to add?
I got nothing.
Okay, then this was our very first race recap for the Formula One. What, Hannah?
What? We have to do our hyperfixations.
Oh, my hyperfixation for the week is Temptation Island. I just started watching it. And I'm back on Hinge. I don't know if that counts as a hyperfixation though, but I redownloaded it. I went away for I deleted it for 2.5 weeks. I redownloaded it. But I don't think it's a
Fair.
hyperfixation. I think it's just me.
You're just letting people know you're dating
I'm just letting
again.
people know I'm back on Hinge. But I just started watching Temptation Island.
I don't, this is another one where I have not
Yeah, I have them on lock.
cared a thing. I,
Golf, something to do with golf.
yeah,
Or
I
tennis
am
this last weekend?
hyperfixating. Oh yeah, Indian Wells. I am hyperfixating on Netflix sports documentaries because last week I was home. Nobody else was home with me during the day. I watched all of the new season of GTS. I watched all the new season of Full Swing. I watched all of the Polo documentary. I finished the one about rugby that I had started. So Netflix sports documentaries, good week for you and my household. I a little other sport update. We can chat about it in my personal DMs if you so choose, because Emma doesn't want to see them. Jack Draper won Indian Wells.
I like
Emma doesn't.
him.
She does actually know who Jack Draper is.
He's so fine. Good for him
And
for winning.
British.
And British. He is so handsome and I love him and I'm so proud of him. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he won. I don't know what he plays. Good job.
Neha and I are actually tag teaming Emma now and both sending her tennis players, try to get her to watch the sport.
Oh, it's tennis? He plays tennis?
Yeah, we're getting somewhere.
I was invited today to play tennis with my friend because last year we played golf together and he was like, we should do tennis now. I was like, okay, I'm down. So
Start with
I'm just gonna go in full swing. But that's golf, isn't
that is the golf one, but good try.
it?
The
Okay,
Players
love that.
Championship was this weekend, and Rory McIlroy won. Do you know that name, Emma?
Rory McIlroy. That sound well, yeah, she's from Gilmore Girls. No, just kidding. I'm so sorry. Cut that, please, because that was a joke. That was good
Rory
though.
McIlroy won the Players for the second time. He is one of my personal favorite golfers. I'm very excited because the Masters is next month. And any tournament that you can get hot before the Masters is good. Yes, Emma.
Golf.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rory McIlroy's from Ireland.
He's got an accent. I don't think that was it.
I don't know about that one, but we can wrap this up. Okay.
Okay, this was our very first F1 race recap of the 2025 season.
We are Track Talk.
Catch out for now.